we can make our way back to our seats, we'll get started this morning. I'll continue to be very annoying in my microphone until we make our way back to our seats. I'm going to get closer and closer and louder and louder. Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? All right. Well, welcome to Victory Bible Class. Good to see everybody this morning. It's a beautiful day outside. And this is the place we need to be. Start off our week. And thank you all so much for being here. Let me read over some of our prayer requests here that are new. So you listen up and we'll get these documented. By the way, next week we will be meeting in our prayer groups, and just make sure we review the prayer list very carefully, because we want to uphold each other to the Lord in prayer, but we also want our prayer requests to be current so that we're praying for the right things. All right, so let me read off about, looks like we have maybe five things this morning. All right, I have no details on this, but I did hear John Mineta was taken to the ER this morning. I have no idea other than that what that means. I don't... Okay. On the, yeah, because he's been wearing that boot for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I thought that might be what it was. So John is a really, really, really bad diabetic, and he's having some trouble with the foot and some a lot of swelling. It's just not healing up very well. So let's remember John. Garner and June they've both had a lot of health problems, but I'm just going to read this off as it's written. So Garner had a shot in his spine that has not helped his lower back pain. And so he's still having a lot of pain, and he's got some more doctor appointments this week to try to figure out what's going on. So let's remember Garner and June. All right, Rachel Wiley, which is Cecil's daughter, has health problems during a pregnancy. I thought I saw Cecil earlier. Okay. So let's remember Rachel. When our daughter was born, we had some complications during that pregnancy. So I can relate to this. And she came early. She was just a little bitty thing about. Oh, she just looked like she'd fit in your hand. And she's, to look at her now, some of you know her, you would never know it. But during this time, it's a scary time, isn't it? So let's remember Rachel, Cecil's daughter. All right, we have Joe Johnson with back pain. Oh, wow, he's in a wheelchair. Okay, so Joe is in a wheelchair at home, lower back pain. I've off and on during the last 30 years had bouts of lower back pain, times when I couldn't even walk. Have anybody else experienced that? It's kind of a, I don't want to say it's real common, but a lot of us have experienced that. So we've got two on our list with lower back pain, and I have been there many times myself, so I can relate to this. Many of you can. So let's remember. So that's Garner and Joe with lower back pain. All right, next, Karen Smith's son, Jason, in a car wreck. A hit and run. His car was totaled, but Jason is okay with just some minor injuries. Karen, right. So this happened this week. Wow. Well, to walk away from a car that has rolled twice is, yes. I was in Dallas this week. Actually, I came home Friday night. And I travel around a lot of places. Dallas, people drive very fast in Dallas. They're not bad drivers. Now, don't get me wrong, in case anybody's from Dallas. I'm not. They're not bad drivers, but they drive very, very fast. It's sort of like when you drive through Atlanta. Y'all done that before. You know, if you're not doing 80, you're getting run over. It's that way in Dallas, too. So I can certainly relate to how frightening that could be. But, man, that's great that he walked away from it. So very good to hear. Okay.
Usually he has the dog with him, and the dog wasn't with him. So he's just grateful that, and he just prayed
He will definitely need a car after rolling twice. Yes, yes, he will. All right, thank you for sharing that. All right, last one we have. We want to pray for Joel Johnson, Ethel's husband. He's in the hospital for multiple issues. All right, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's had some kidney problems and some other things that they're working on. He's in pretty bad.
So several things going on with Joel Johnson. All right. So we have Rachel Wiley. Problem with the pregnancy. Joe Johnson and Garner having lower back pain. And let me make sure. And Joel Johnson with multiple things going on. And then John Mineta in the hospital with an. We're getting very sketchy information. But you know what? Here's the thing. God knows what he needs. God knows where he is. And when we pray for him, that's all we need to know. So great. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And yes, I heard a voice. Leroy. So it's a custody issue with children. Okay. If you want to put this on the list later on, you certainly can. Okay. All right. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. If you would like to jot this down on the list later, you certainly can. Dave Rush, let's leave. I'll put the list back on the table. We will leave it there this morning until we leave class, because I think some of you might want to put something down on here. So I'm just going to leave it over there and instead of turning it in. And I'll turn it in later after our class dismisses. Thank you, Dave. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the beautiful day you gave us. The Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you that we have something to rejoice about this morning because of what you've done for us. Thank you that I have a reason to get out of bed this morning. You've given me the health, the strength. You've given me a reason to even be able to get up and to breathe your air and to make it here to church today to worship you, hopefully in spirit and in truth, as the Bible says. Thank you for all your blessings to us. Thank you for our class. Thank you how our class has been prospered over all these years. And thank you for how you're continuing to minister to our class here these last few months. This class means a lot to me personally. And I thank you for Dr. Stevens. Thank you for his teaching through Genesis and how helpful it's been. And thank you for blessing us with him. And I pray for him as he brings our lesson this morning, to give him clarity of thought and bring to his mind the things that we need to hear. Because we came here today to worship you, to learn more about you. We're supposed to be like Christ in walking with the Lord in every phase of our life. And we fall short of that. But I know when I'm in Sunday school, when I'm in church, when somebody's standing behind a desk, opening up the Bible and teaching and preaching, I find something that I need, something that I can use. And I pray that we'll each find something we can use this morning to help us to walk closer with you. And we've got many on our list with physical ailments. The one with the lower back, we've got two people there. Man, I have experienced that myself before, and I know how painful that can be. And we've got others in the hospital. We didn't mention anyone with cancer, but I know there's ones on our list with battling cancer. Leroy mentioned someone battling a custody issue. Nancy mentioned an unspoken. So, Lord, many, many things that we need to bring before you. I pray for healing where it's needed. I pray for comfort where it's needed. I pray for guidance and wisdom where it's needed. And sometimes folks just need encouragement. And I pray for encouragement. I think of that verse in, I believe it's in 2 Samuel. It said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's where our encouragement can come from. And as fellow believers and our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can always walk up and give an encouraging word to someone. But our encouragement can come from the Lord. And I pray for those that need encouragement this morning. Thank you again for our time together here. And I pray that you'll bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to walk over here and put these on the desk. And right before Dr. Stevens comes, I want to tell you something that happened to me yesterday. Yesterday, I went out with a group of teens and other various and sundry younger people, and we climbed the highest mountain peak east of the Mississippi. So where did we go? Mount Mitchell. Yeah, has anybody ever climbed Mount Mitchell? Any of you ever done that? I see a couple of hands. That's it? Only two? Two? All right, So the old man was going to hang with the young kids yesterday and do this thing. Let me tell you something. This is not a hike for the faint of heart. This is not going out to Worst Path and having a leisurely stroll around the island and counting ducks and stuff. This is a hard hike. About halfway up, it began to what you might call a rain. It looked more like a monsoon. And so we battled a monsoon for a couple of hours. And I finally make it all the way to the top. And lo and behold, there's this huge parking lot. And it dawned on me, you could have driven up here. Oh, man. But I can report that the old man hung with the kids and made it. It wasn't pretty. Didn't feel good, but I did make it. You know, I was thinking as I'm going up this mountain, I was out there doing it for what you would call leisure or fun. But what if this rain that was coming down didn't stop and I was having to climb up there to this highest point to get away from a flood? What if water was coming up out of the ground? I mean, rain was an inconvenience yesterday. We were wet and cold and inconvenienced. But what if that water wasn't stopping? What if the water got up all the way over the top of Mount Mitchell? Can you even imagine what that would be like? Well, we're in Genesis 8. I have no idea where we're going exactly today, but we started kind of going into Noah. And I was thinking yesterday, brother, that mountain was underwater at one time. That is an astounding thought when you're standing on the top and you're looking around and thinking, there's no way that could happen. No way that could happen. But yet it did. It certainly did. So with that in mind, I'm going to make sure I get this turned off. Dr. Stevens is going to come and continue in Genesis. And I believe I got it. If we hear double voices, we'll know I didn't.
Well, no, you didn't. Good to have all of you. Good group of folk here today. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Genesis, and we are in chapter 9 now. Very key chapter. Several things, chapter 9 and chapter 10, are very interesting here. Actually, 9, 10, and 11 are kind of grouped together in my thinking process. But we're going to see a new dispensation when you come to chapter 9, a dispensation of human government. Up to this time, when someone would kill someone, they didn't have human government. But now you're here. Look in verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fish of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Now get verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given to you all things. Now up to this time, man did not eat meat. Now we're in a different dispensation, and God is going to allow man to eat meat. And up to that time, you were a vegetarian whether you liked it or not. But now we're in a different dispensation where God is working differently here. Now, it's very interesting because as you go through, particularly the book of Exodus and Leviticus, you will find that God said there's certain things they couldn't eat. All right? For example, we in Charleston, once or twice a year would have fish fry and shrimp. How many like shrimp? Moses never ate shrimp. How many like catfish? Moses never ate catfish. How many like a ham dinner? Moses never ate ham dinner in his life. I thank God that I'm not Moses. All right. Now, when I just want to give you something just there. So here at this point, they could eat pretty well what they want. Now, you're getting in. Now, my wife is here. Bless her heart. If I said to her, honey, let's have shrimp for lunch, she would say, no. She says, I don't like shrimp. I'm like Moses. But let me take you to the New Testament for everybody, including my wife. Why don't you go to 1 Timothy, and I want you to go to chapter 4. And look at verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with what? Thanksgiving. So I can eat shrimp. She'd rather I wouldn't. And how many here do not like shrimp? Okay, brother, join the crowd with Marilyn. All right, good for you. All right, but I will still eat it. My point of it is, in chapter 9, there's a new dispensation at which God allowed them to eat meat, as long as. And then you're going to find that restrictions when you get into Exodus, particularly Leviticus. You'll see that there are restrictions there. So we have, first of all, a change. That's the first thing I want you to see. This dispensation offers a change that is completely different from the previous dispensation. Then I want you to notice something here. Verse 4, we see a command. Verse 4 down to verse 6. And verse 6 is very important. But look here in verse 4 for... But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. God said, do not eat the blood. And, of course, we understand the blood is very sacred to God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, you can't get any more sacred than that, the blood of Jesus Christ. But as we go down here, we find a new thought here. So we only have a change. You can eat things you couldn't eat before. And you have a command here. I like to have a good steak, but they could eat steak back in those days, but they couldn't. I had to make sure it was what? Well done. No blood. Because it was symbolic of the sacredness God was placing on the blood. The life of the flesh is where? In the blood. Now look at verse 6, a verse that should be underlined with thought here in mind. So you have a change. You have a command here, and look at verse 6. This is part of the command here. Underline that thought here in your mind. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Now, do you believe in capital punishment? You better, God does. And whosoever, now I struggle today in my thought here, the people who are on death row, I think it is wrong to keep them on death row for all those years. I mean, that is, to me, is wrong. And when they've been found guilty, they ought to be executed because they've taken life. And that's life, as far as God is concerned, is very sacred. And so he says, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Now, let me go expand that just a little further. God's against abortion of any kind, because for any reasons. Now, you can debate that if you want to, but I believe if you go to Psalm 139, he deals with the sacredness of life, and therefore we need not to kill unborn babies. And we should always make a firm stand on that. I have, in my time as a pastor, dealt with more than one person who got saved but had to deal with the guilt for years, facing the fact they had an abortion, and came to the realization that they had killed an innocent little baby that wasn't even born yet. So God is very dogmatic about that in Scripture. Read Psalm 139. I'm not going to deal with it today, but boy, is that a great chapter. So here you have the establishment of human government here. Now, God, there's something else there. So we have a change, we have a command, and now we have a covenant as well. Six times in verses 9 down to verse 17, you'll find that word covenant. Note them if you want to. Verse 9, and I beheld, I established my what? Covenant. Verse 11, and I will establish my what? Covenant. Verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of what? A covenant. Verse 15, I will remember my covenant. Verse 16, and a bow shall be in the cloud, and I'll look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant. That's 5. Verse 6, 17, and God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant. So you find here six times God brings out this covenant. Now, does anybody here know what a covenant is? All right, let's do it this way. When you got married, did you sign that piece of paper? Was that a contract? Was it? How many think it was a contract? No. A contract can be broken, but a covenant cannot be broken. And there's a covenant here. A covenant is an agreement that God makes, in which there are, he calls them unconditional. Of the covenants you find in the Bible, there is only one that was conditional. Anybody know which covenant was conditional? Anyone take a guess? Not a gamble, but a guess. The Mosaic covenant. He said, if you do this, I'll do this. And so they didn't do that. And, of course, that was when the law was instituted. And that covenant is the one that's been broken by man. No, you can't get saved by law. You can't get saved by keeping things right. You can't do it because you're not going to do it. It's not going to happen to you. Now, interesting here, in this covenant, you see something here. Look here in verse 9. Let's begin in verse 9. And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, and the fowl, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, for all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be flood to destroy the earth. Now stop right here. The flood was universal. It was a universal flood. Now, right now in Texas, they think that the flood there is pretty bad. They're having a lot of water. They're in the Houston area, am I right? In that whole area there, they're having a tremendous amount of water. But God has made a covenant. He will never destroy this earth again by water. And when God makes a covenant, he what?
Keeps it.
He keeps it. So this is a one-sided covenant. It's not anything that man has to do. It's what God does. So it's an unconditional covenant. God doesn't care what you think. And we're living in a day when there's debate about global warming. Somebody said, do you believe in global warming? I sure do. Look at the book of Revelation. It's going to get awful hot on this planet one day. It's going to be pretty hot. And he'll bring fire down from heaven. But that's an epitome of God. And there will be the seasons. God will keep that going because God has made a covenant. A covenant. And he says, and then he gives a token. And God said, this is the covenant token which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, the rainbow. You know, they tell me rainbows are beautiful several colors, unless you're colorblind. I'm colorblind. I don't see them all. It's like somebody said, boy, driving up here from North Carolina, when you go through the mountains there, you're going to see all those beautiful colors. No, I won't. I'll see two of them, the yellow and the orange, and that's it. Marilyn says, look at those beautiful red. I said, looks same as green to me. I don't care. You know, it's the same color. But we know here the rainbow has beautiful colors to it. And every time I think of a rainbow, I think of the promise of God. You know, there's a lot of promises of God in nature, things we see, we ought to be thankful for. And God, I've been through a flood. I was in Ohio when that near the Columbus, Newark area that hit that flood, and in the wintertime, and you could actually frozen water, walk up to rooftops with water, with frozen water because of the flooding we had. How many have ever been in a flood? How many would like to be in a flood? Nobody? Okay, I wouldn't either. All right. So we have here a covenant. He says here, verse 14, it's in the past, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between you, between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy the earth. You know, God still loves his creation, his creatures. Even the animals are under this covenant. Isn't that great? I mean, think about it, how God is just there. And so he deals with this. He establishes this covenant. Now, let's move on here. So first we have a change. There's a change there. You can eat meat you couldn't eat before. New dispensation. He makes a command here that you should not shed man's blood. Capital punishment is installed, instituted. You have a covenant that God makes, and he puts a rainbow in the clouds for you and I to see. How many have seen rainbows lately? They're beautiful to look at. And unless you're in California, you don't see rainbows for two reasons. Number one, it very seldom rains. And number two, the smog hides them, I think, up. But they're there, and thank the Lord for them. Now we see something else beginning in verse 20. I want to move down there in verse 20. So now we have a change, a command, a covenant. We have a canopy removed. Now, what do I mean by that? Thank you for asking me. Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine. Now, underline that word wine. Really, that is the fruit of the vine. Okay? That's what the word means, the fruit of the vine. Now, that's important because we have today a debate whether or not Christians should drink or not. Well, the answer is no, they shouldn't. I hope you agree with that. And we know in Book of Proverbs strongly talks about what happens when you drink and what it does. I'm from a drunkard's family. My daddy left us when I was two. My mother, my first stepfather, was a heavy drinker. Second stepfather drank. We just seen it all the time. We never had a Christmas where we didn't everybody pass out from drinking, except me. I didn't drink that much because I just hated the stuff. When my brother committed suicide on Christmas Day in 1957, he did so after he got drunk and didn't know what he was doing. So it's a terrible thing. But we're debating today something that should not be debated, drinking. Here you have the first case of drunkenness. Now, I'm convinced as I read this passage of a couple things. I am convinced that when Noah drank that, he did not realize what he was drinking. Because up till this time, he no doubt drank fruit of the vine, but it wasn't fermented because the direct rays of the sun were not on the earth. When God did the flood, he put water on this earth. When the flood, he got it from two different sources. Number one, it springed up from the ground, the water of the earth, right? That time never rained. Can you imagine, Noah, God said it's going to rain 40 days? No, son. They said, what's rain? What's rain? And then there was a canopy open, which God opened the heavens and literally poured tons and tons of water on this earth. I am told in one book that I read on Genesis dealing with the flood that animals were found in the Antarctic with hay in their mouth. Because that thing hit them so sudden, they had no time to swallow it. And therefore, that canopy was open in the waters. If you remember in creation, God, from the water, let's go back to Genesis chapter, let's go back. Some of you look puzzled on your faces, and I'm worried about that. So let's go back here in chapter 1, verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Now, the firmament, if you know what a firmament, how many know what a firmament is? What's another word here?
Space.
Space. Space here. So let there be a space in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the water. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. The waters under the firmament was when the earth was just all water. And then what did God do? He had earth. He uncovered certain sections of it. And then the waters above. Those were the waters that God simply left up there to build a canopy over the earth. So the direct rays of the sun. Do you realize that man lives not as long as he did before the flood? Because of the direct rays of the sun is killing us. Yeah, it's true. How many of you, you know, laying out here on the beach and letting all the sun, your skin just sort of withers away some ways. All right. But get the point here that this canopy was above, and all of a sudden then God, when he just released all of this water. And so now the canopy is no longer there, and there's a couple things you're going to find. There's direct rays of the sun on the earth, and of course the fruit of the vine would become what? Fermented. By the way, we just had the Lord's Supper. Does everybody know why we don't use fermented wine? What? I didn't hear. What?
The leaven.
The leaven's in it. It's got leaven in it. We do have unleavened bread. Why would you have leaven wine? It has fermentation in it. So we're not allowed to do that. So God lays down some restrictions here to indicate, as a matter of fact, what happened to the Corinthian church. I believe at times they would use fermented wine and everybody got what? Got drunk. You read it there in the Corinthian passages. And so that's the first thing. And now man is going to live longer, or live less, not as long as they did before. Or age, you'll find man is not living to be 969 years. 969. How many, anybody here would like to live 969 years? Some of you look like you're close. I'm one of them. All right. But then we find, and then something happened here. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. There are different theories to the interpretation of this passage. But I think here, look here, and Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was what? Drunken. I don't believe this was something he would have done before, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of their father and told it to his brethren without. And Shem and Ham and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their father faces were backward, and they saw not the father's nakedness. God was very, very concerned about covering the body, folks. We're living in a generation where we don't see that any longer. We see our generation of people uncovering the body. And I want to tell you this publicly, God, pardon my grammar, he ain't for it. He's very concerned about that. Then Noah awoke from his wine. Now look, verse 24. This is key. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had what? Done unto him. There was an act of the younger son that Ham did to his father. No doubt this was a homosexual act. That's enough to ruin your day to think about it. But it's not what he saw. It's what he what?
Had done.
Well, notice, look at what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. I often wonder about that. Now, he's the son of Ham. I think that here's grace on Noah's part. He loved Ham. He said, your son will be, and that generation being cursed. Be careful, folks. Listen to me. The things we do today can well be passed on to our children and their children. And we need to realize that, how we're, what we're doing. I'm tired of hearing people say, well, what I do is what? My business. That is called the doctrine of baloney. Because you will pass these things on to your children that are definitely a problem. Now I'll stop here. See if we got any questions concerning that. This is a very key thought here. There are many who don't for sure what took place, but the very fact that said what they had done to him would indicate there was an act of some kind, and I believe it to be a homosexual act. And homosexual today is getting spreading pretty well, is it not? And people are not born. A girl is not born with a female body and a male mind. You get that down. A man is not born with a male body and a female mind. A woman is to be a woman. A man is to be a man. That's the way God made us. And they're only a man and a woman. Colleges today want to treat the trans, all this stuff here, and there's enough to gag a maggot. Because it's sin and it's wrong. And we need to be sure that we young people, couples, your boys don't play with dolls. I remember years ago when my wife said to me, I said, Tim, I'm going to get him a, rifle, 22 rifle. Oh, she said, I don't think he ought to have a gun. Well, I won over. I want him to be a man. And I'm glad he never got mad at me and shot me. Praise the Lord for that. Or she got it and shot me. I'm thankful for that. But you understand what I'm saying? I think it's what we instill in their minds that helps them in the proper way to grow up. I remember what God said to Job. Job, be a man. Said it twice. David said to Solomon, be a man. We need to train men today in our society and make sure they're real men and real women, ladies. We've thrown that out today. I'm reminded of the fellow that was opening the door because a young lady, in this case may not have been, came and she said, I can open my door. He said, ma'am, I didn't open it because you were a lady. I opened it because I was a gentleman. Hello. And I think we still need to open the doors for our wives, fellows. How many don't do that? Don't raise your wicked hand. But it's amazing. We need to train them. Our children need to see that and train them the right way. And any questions on that, I won't answer them, but go ahead and ask. Any thoughts on this thought here? All right. Anything? Oh, you're good. You're good class today. Put my glasses back on so I can see you. You all look good. Now, we see here, and so we had done here, we see a change. We see a command. We see a covenant. We see a canopy. And we see a curse. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son, verse 24, had done to him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. I don't want to get into all that, but we know then that Noah died there in verse 29. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Now that's interesting. Did he live as long as Methuselah? Did he? You notice the age is now going down in the area of life, okay? And so we find here, now we're going to just go over to the 10th chapter for just a moment. Only got a couple minutes here because we're leading up to a very important chapter. Well, you say they're all important, aren't they? Amen. Yeah, amen, they all are. But boy, next week we're going to look at chapter 11. We're going to lead up to it. Chapter 10 leads up to it. You have a first one world government established. Mankind says we don't need God. We need one world government. And we need somebody to come along and lead us. Now, we know that will be the Antichrist. But here is the first Antichrist found in the Bible. Okay? And I want to take that moment or two before we close this morning for us all to see that. And here is in chapter 10, you have here the genealogies of people that were born from the family of Noah and his children. And the Bible says, and Cush begot Nimrod. Boy, you better get that name. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He became the leader. Now keep in mind, up to this time, were there nations? No. Everybody was what? All one. We're going to see what God does to that. And that is the goal of the Antichrist. That everybody will be under that one umbrella here. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. The word before here is an interesting word. In the Hebrew, the idea is I'm against God. That's exactly what the before here means. I'm against God. I don't like God. You know why I don't like God? Because I want to be God. And we're going to deal with that next time. And the Bible says in verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was what? Babel. Now we're going to deal with Babel next week. And the name itself means confusion. Is God the author of confusion? No. Washington, D.C. is. Washington is the leader of confusion. We're going to see what happens here when we get into this in chapter 11. We're going to see here. Nimrod will become a one-world sovereign who will develop a one-world society and a one-world system by which he will try to control. And you know, God does something. We'll see next week. God is not going to put up with it. By the way, God's not going to put up what's taking place in Washington. I'm not referring necessarily to Trump, although I'd rather have him than that lady. Excuse me, she isn't one, is she? But anyway, I'm worried about our country. It's fallen apart because we no longer want to follow God's principles. And yet, I don't find anywhere in the world, in the Word of God, where they tells the governments to repent. The church is the one. The church is to be the leader. We got to stay strong. This church got to stay strong in our society in which we live today. We got to stay strong. Do the right things. That's why I wanted to talk about the things today. All right, God bless you. You cannot go home. We have people out there in the parking lot with guns. And they're loaded. And they'll shoot anybody who tries to go home. All right, just kidding. You're dismissed. Thank you.